we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are thrilled to spend the next half hour with you. Pray that you are having a really, really good day. If not, go out and make it a great day. If you got started off on the wrong foot today, why don't you allow God to order your steps from this point forward and direct your path and say, you know what? Today, God sits up on the throne, and it is a really, really good day. So I want to invite you to check out our website, merrittassembly.com, our Facebook page, like us at Merritt Assembly of God, and you can stay up to date on the information that is coming, events that are coming this coming week, not you know, today's March the 7th, but starting Sunday, we have a phenomenal kids ministry convention that is going to be taking place, going to be Sunday through Wednesday. The Lusher family, Elmer and the gang, they're all going to be there, and we're really looking forward to what God is going to do. So that's going to take place Sunday night the 12th, Monday night the 13th, Tuesday the 14th, Wednesday the 15th, and it will be at 6:30 p.m. every night. That way we can get you out in a reasonable amount of time so that the kids can get home and get back to school and have enough time to invite their friends to come out the next night. So if your kids do not have a place where they are learning about Jesus, bring them to Merritt Assembly of God this coming week and watch what God does in their lives. You know, there's nothing more exciting than watching a child's eyes light up when they start hearing about Jesus and discovering. I'll tell you something about myself that I don't think I've ever shared here on the radio program. And that was, I remember going over to my grandmother's house when I was 21 years old. It was my birthday. And when I hit 21, I didn't grow up with the thing that said, oh, now I can go out and get drunk. And boy, doesn't that sound fun. I'd seen drunk people before. I'd already seen people's lives just completely ruined by alcohol, relationships ruined by the alcohol, people die because of alcohol. I'd seen all that. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. But I thought, okay, 21, I am an adult now, and that means I can't have fun anymore. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm not even smiling at my own birthday party, and finally somebody comes to me and says, are you not having a good time? I mean, this is your birthday party. And I said, well, no, I'm 21. That means that I have to act like I'm not enjoying life anymore. And they let me know that was an incorrect assumption on my part. And so if you are off on the wrong foot today, let me be the person to let you know, hey, God can put you on the right path. It is a path of great joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so make sure that you are living for what God wants you to live for. So we are going to be in Psalm 23 today. Today we're, let me recap yesterday first. Yesterday we talked about some duplicate declarations that are good for both men and women. And some of these also would apply, but in his list, the list that Pastor Craig Groeschel put together. And if you'd like a copy of it, you can contact us. We have copies available. We'll send them to you free of charge. You don't have to worry if you contact us about us bombarding you with a lot of information and you becoming on a mailing list, because we're just not going to do that. We're just not. If you contact us, we will pray for you. but we're not interested in building up a mass mailer or anything like that. We're just wanting to help people to grow in their faith. So if you'd like a copy of these declarations, you can add to them, you can take away from them, you can do whatever God wants you to do with them. But if you'd like a copy of them, contact us and let us know. But Psalm 23, verse number 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the declaration that he has put together here for women is this: because of Jesus, I lack nothing. I remember having a discussion with somebody about this passage. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And they were trying to get me to believe that I should only preach out of one particular version of the Bible. And I was preaching out of the New International Version, and it says, I shall lack nothing. And so they picked this passage. And they said, now tell me, what is wrong with that? And I said, well, why don't you want Jesus as your shepherd? Not that I don't understand that passage, but for the person who is just reading that from a modern perspective, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It would read as if you do not want the Lord as your shepherd. I want you to know that's not the case. That's not what the meaning of this text is. But I wanted to share that with you because many of you may be entrenched in thinking that only one version is going to be able to reach a generation. And, you know, most of the verses that I quote here, I quote from the King James Version because that's what I grew up with. When I got into ministry, I started preaching out of a different version because of the people that I was trying to reach. They didn't speak Old English. They didn't understand it. And so I preached to them from a version that would communicate the truth. And if it didn't do an adequate job, then I explained it in a modern way that they could understand it. So I'm not afraid of all of the different translations. There are some of them that are good, some of them that, I'll be honest with you, when I read them, I don't understand what they're trying to say. And those are, I mean, they've made it in such a modern vernacular that I don't understand. I told you on yesterday's program that I was in a meeting last week, and they were talking about the person who had put together this little one-day retreat. They referred to him as the OG. Now, this was a young pastor. He's got a church filled with young adults in it, and all sorts of families, and they're just making great kingdom impact. And they said, yeah, we refer to this guy as the OG. And I started going through all sorts of possible things. And the guy they were talking about, he's basically my age, and is like, okay, OG, old guy. I saw other people who, and most of the people who were there were similar in age to me. This was the anomaly. He was the young guy, and we're all, and so I leaned over to the guy on my left and I said, what's OG stand for? And he said, I don't know. And we're all sitting around. I see other guys talking to one another and they haven't got a clue. And one of them Googled it and they found out what it was. And finally I said, What is OG? I said, forgive me, because they mentioned that two or three times. I said, can you help me? I need some interpretation here. I don't know what OG stands for, and it turns out it's urban for original gangster. It's just a term of endearment for somebody that's a little bit older than the group there. And so I got an education. But many times when we are in church, we speak churchese. We speak church lingo. And I don't know how I'm getting off on this. This is a completely different term. But I want to encourage you, when you are dealing with people who don't know anything at all about Jesus, you can't assume that they know everything about Jesus. They don't know anything at all about him other than the fact that people use his name as a curse word. And so we need here in America to assume that people are biblically illiterate, because for the most part, America is biblically illiterate. They don't know. Do you realize that most Christians never read the Word of God? They are still under that wilderness wandering mindset that the children coming out of Egypt had. You go to God, Pastor, you hear from God, and you tell us what God has to say, and then we're going to turn on the television, and we're going to hear this person talking about God, and we're going to think they're talking about the same God, even though the things that they're proposing are not in the Word of God. The best way that I can tell you is to get into the book, read the book, study the book, and allow the book to get into you, so that if you hear something that is not true, that you are able to deal with it right then. Now, back to our declarations. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not suffer lack. Do you understand that God is a good, good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep? And the shepherd's responsibility is to make sure that the sheep have everything that they need, whether it is medical care, it's the leadership that they have, it is a place to eat, it is a place to be protected, it is a place to rest, it is a place to get hydrated, it is a place to dwell and to thrive and to become the person of maturity that God wants you to. And God, because he is a great shepherd, says, not anything that you have in your life will you lack. That's why in 3 John 2, there's only one chapter, so it's in verse number 2. May you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It's that relationship that we have with Jesus where we know he's got everything under control. And whenever we realize that he's the shepherd, it brings tremendous peace to us. You know, I told you when we were growing up, or my kids were growing up, that we didn't always have sufficient finances. It was quite a struggle. But not one time did my kids ever go to bed wondering where their next meal was going to come from, because they knew that we were going to provide. I heard of a family one time, and they didn't realize how poor they were until they got to be adults. And there were times when their cupboards were bare, and all they had was popcorn. And their mom would say, "Kids, tonight we are going to have a real treat. We're going to have popcorn soup." Now, I don't know how you make popcorn soup. But for them, they didn't realize how desperate the situation was, but they knew that mom and dad were going to take care of them. And so today, join me in this declaration. Because Jesus is my shepherd and he is a good shepherd, I will lack nothing. Now we're going to go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, one of my favorite passages of scripture. And in fact, we've got people in our church that this is one of their favorite passages of scripture. And the very first Sunday that they attended service in our church, I was preaching through this passage. Verse number 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So this one piggybacks off of that last declaration where, because Jesus is our shepherd, we shall lack nothing. This one says, God has given me everything I need to do what he's called me to do. God equips us to accomplish. When he calls us, he equips us, he provides for us so that we can accomplish the task. He says, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, you need to understand that the process of that provision, of sustenance, of having everything that we need to do to accomplish what he's called us to do, it comes through our knowledge of him. And that knowledge is not supposed to be at a level of stagnation. It is supposed to be increasing. It is supposed to be growing. It is supposed to be dynamic. Listen, if you think you know everything there is to know about God, your God is too small. My God is infinite. He's omnipotent. He is omniscient. He's all powerful. He knows all things. He's everywhere I go. And if I can understand all of that with my finite brain, then I'm arrogant. I'm puffed up. I'm depriving myself. You see, when you think you know everything, then you no longer have to subject yourself to the possibility that you don't know everything. In fact, when you think you know everything, then all of a sudden you have isolated yourself now, because, and you'll try and insulate yourself, because whenever you get around other people, you're going to find out, you know what? I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. So, he has given me everything I need to do what he's called me to do. Now, let me share with you about provision. For most of our ministry, we have prayed the provision in. We, Merit Assembly of God, when we came, our district had paid off some debt. It was, the church was bankrupt, and so we came in with no salary, and we didn't have anywhere to turn. So we needed major repairs to the church, and we started paying for those repairs as we went. And so our first year, our total church income was $13,000, and you can imagine just how many repairs you can do when you've got utility bills and all of those sorts of things. And for the first 7 months, we had no salary whatsoever. There was another stretch where we operated for 10 weeks with no salary. And we're not talking about a large salary here. We're, you know, that first salary that we eventually got was $50 a week. And so, I think at one point in time we had like a $700 electric bill, and it's like, whoa. I mean, we didn't have insulation in the sanctuary building, and two really old air conditioning units, and it was just brutal. So we just started paying for things as we went. And so we would pray in the provision. And back in 2014, so we had been on the radio program for a little over a year, I believe, at that point in time. And I had prayed and prayed and prayed, and we ended up 2014, $220-some in the hole. And I was like, oh man, if I had known that it was that close, I would have done what I could to find $220 to put in just to make it even. This last year we were about $220 to the good. That came in on the very last day. And so that's where we were. But in 2014, God caused this realization to come in my heart. And that was this: God, you can provide the provision in advance just as easily as you can after the fact. Because what we had done was, if something needed to be done, we were paying for it, and then we were swimming upstream all year to try and get to break even. And I want you to know that God birthed in me an expectation that said that he could provide the provision before we ever started the process. And 2015 was my favorite year to pastor of all the years I've pastored thus far, because we saw God bring in abundant provision at the beginning of the year, and we were able to do more in that year than any other year that I can think of in recent memory. And we had abundant provision. So guess what I'm praying now? God, you can bring in the provision in advance just as easily as you can after the fact. And so we are believing that God is going to cause supernatural provision to come into your life and to my life. I was talking with a person a couple of weeks ago, a missionary, and we were talking, and I was telling them that one of the prayers that I pray for our congregation is that God would bless them into the highest tax bracket. And they said, "Would you pray that for us as well?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so when I got off the phone, I prayed, "God, would you bless them with so much provision that they would have everything that they need to do the ministry that God has called them to do. God bless them into the highest tax bracket." Acts chapter 20 is going to be where we're going to wrap things up today. These are declarations that ladies can make. And let me tell you why I believe that he put these in the ladies category. It's not that you couldn't apply these to men as well, but for women, one of the greatest needs that they have as a created being of God, one of the strongest needs that they have is a need for security. And they like to know that everything is taken care of. And so you can rest assured as a lady today that Jesus is going to meet your needs and you are not going to have lack. And you can rest assured that God is going to provide everything that you need for what he's called you to do. I want a sense of confidence in the ability of your God to arise in you today so that you do not fall into a worry trap, where you are entrapped with anxiety and fear and you are a bundle of nerves. And I tell you what, we may not even get to Acts chapter 20 today. I just sense the leading of the Lord in this direction. There are some people that believe it is their right as a woman to be nothing more than a worrier. Not a warrior, but a person who worries consistently. And I want you to be delivered from that in Jesus' name. You are supposed to be anxious for nothing because of the sufficiency of your God. God's not going to lead you into a trap. He's not going to lead you to a place. That worry, that fear, it will paralyze you. It will cause you to experience a great deal of apprehension. Because what if this happens, and what if this happens, and what if this happens? My wife and I went on a cruise for our 10th anniversary. It was one of the only vacations that we had ever had where we weren't visiting family, and we actually went on that one without our kids. We got babysitters at the time and people in the church that watched them. And while we were on that cruise, there was a person on the cruise in a wheelchair. They were completely and totally bound to that wheelchair. This would have been before my mother ended up in that very same condition. But they had a sign that they had strapped to the back of the handles of the wheelchair. And I've never forgotten it. And their sign did not say, "Feel sorry for me, woe is me," or anything like that. It said this, don't worry. 97% of the stuff that you worry about never happens. Worry and fear are many times based on irrational things that the enemy would try and get to rule and reign in our heads, that God's going to abandon us and that God is going to fail us and the money is not going to hold out and the health is not going to hold out and the job's not going to hold out. And let me tell you, I have been there when my job ended and I didn't have the source of income that I had at that point in time, and it wasn't all that much. It was $6 or $7 an hour. And God miraculously brought us through that season where our expenses were reduced because I wasn't working. I wasn't having to pay for childcare at that point in time. And we ended up with the unemployment insurance that came in because my company went out of business, that my expenses went down so much that we had actually more spendable income during that time than we had when I was working. And it's like, God, this does not make any sense whatsoever. And so I want to encourage you today to confess that Jesus is your good shepherd and you are not going to lack anything, and that God's going to give you everything out of his divine power, not out of your bank account or out of your wisdom or anything. God's going to give you out of himself everything that you need to accomplish the things that he's called you to do. He is not going to overlook a single detail. He's not going to forget it. You know, I don't know about you, but whenever we go on a trip, we either forget something when we leave the house to go on the trip, or once we get there, we forget it to bring it home. God's not so inclined. He's very intent on making sure that you have everything that you need. Do not worry. Be anxious for nothing. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Father, today, in Jesus' name, we would like to declare we are the child of the King of all kings. We will act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. We will be strong, gentle, fierce, and compassionate. We will fight the good fight of faith, and we will lack nothing. We will have everything we need to do to accomplish the things that you have called us to do because you are our good shepherd. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.